Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace, fam. We back in the building, family. This is Brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rigel.
Hotel for Barbie Ghani. And Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Montour, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio, back again another week to share constructive dialogue with the family. Like we said, Collective Minds, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. And man, oh man, like I say, 2020 has been a banger as far as things going on. And this week was nothing short of a major event. And, you know, that's what we're here to talk about. But before we get started, Queen Rigel and Brother Mufasa, any announcements for the family, and how was y'all week?
My week was great. It was a wonderful week. I've never had a more wonderful week like this before. And
yes, indeed.
I never. This is a week that's more awesome than all the other weeks. There has never been a week like this. It was wonderful. It was great.
Oh, that.
It was great.
That's what's up.
And it was great. I tell you. And my trust.
Mm, sprinkle me, man.
All right. Let's get
and my
it. My brother Mufasa. Yeah. How was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, you know, I'm wishing I could get some of that residue off of Queen Rigel there. Because, I mean, it's not cute. She's living it up. Life is roses and bubbles. So I need some of that in my life. But, you know, hey, the week has been good. Well, it's been up and down. First off, let me start by telling Brother Kev, happy birthday, my brother.
Happy birthday.
Yes, indeed.
Hopefully
a little bit, but you know, I'm going to push through, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, appreciate it.
My day, let me add this real quick.
Ahead.
I had a good day.
Yeah.
Everything went smooth and a good week up until a couple of hours ago. I got an email saying that the Nation of Islam YouTube channels were being shut down. And so, yeah, that dampened my spirit a little bit, you know. So
I haven't got
the exact reasoning of why. I'm sure we can speculate on some things, especially in this COVID era, COVID time. You know, my speculation is, you know, the minister's been going hard on anti-vaccine, and we coming into this vaccine era. So, you know, yeah, I just found that strange that, you know, today they decided to shut down two of the main YouTube channels, the Nation of Islam main YouTube channel and the Final Call YouTube channel. So they got me put in a certain type of way.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. That is crazy. Yeah, so, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. story as it develops. Yeah, y'all, we here, we back. Last week, we saw the presidential debate, and that's what we are talking about here today on Collective Minds. What did you think about the debate between President Trump and Biden last week? And we gonna go in, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. So yeah, let's get right into it, y'all. Oh man, this was a doozy. This was a doozy. You know, I don't know. Right, it was a humdanger. So yeah, we go get into it. We go talk about it. I guess we could start with Queen Rigel. You know, just give us your overall thoughts on the debate and what you thought about the debate.
It was shameful. I've never seen the most shameful debate. I mean, it was terrible. So I hated to see two grown men, and one is the president and one is trying to be the president, that lacks so much self-control. I don't like that. I thought that was a horrible display. It was poor representation of just how to be an adult. You don't even teach. I mean, we teach children how to speak. When you're talking with someone, you let them talk, and then you reply. That's just how you communicate. So the fact that neither one of these gentlemen displayed this self-control was horrible to me. It just wasn't a good role model stance. But outside of that, I did also notice a few other things about it, the debate. The narrator, Chris, he was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do his job. He wasn't a narrator. He was very biased. He leaned more towards Biden. And he did not do a great job at being a moderator. It was very unfair. It was two against one. And I didn't really appreciate that, because I think it robbed the community opportunities to really hear these young men give answers. It was to the advantage of them both to cut each other off, because no one answered questions. And it almost made me feel like it was just designed that way, because the narrator himself even participated in the foolishness. He wouldn't
right.
even. He asked Trump a question about health care. When Trump began to answer the question, and when he started talking about pharmaceuticals and all that, the narrator, if you guys go back and look at it, the narrator straight up just cut Trump off. Didn't even let him finish his answer. Just straight cut him off and went on to Biden. So not only was he doing that quite often, he was cutting them off. Instead of saying, okay, break it up, guys, and let the person finish the question so the question can be actually answered, he like, break it up, guys, and he'll move on to another question. It's like, you're not holding anybody accountable for finishing the question and answering it. I think it was just poor. It was done poor, and I didn't really appreciate it. I can leave it there. Those are the two biggest points that I did take away from, that it was done very poorly as far as no one displayed self-control, so we didn't get a chance to get the information that we was coming to get, and I didn't like the narrator. I think he was, the moderator, he was terrible. He did not do a wonderful job at all. He was very poor at it. He did not keep things on track, did not keep anyone focused, and I do think it was biased. I think it was two against one. Trump was debating both of them, and that was pretty much it. And I'm going to throw this one thing out there. Biden cut Trump off first, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Got it. All right, family. You're just joining us. We are talking about the debate last week between Biden and Trump. Let us know your thoughts on the debate. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. All right. My brother Mufasa Ra. My brother, what did you think about the debate between Biden and Trump?
Yes, sir. Well, I want to first commend Queen Raja for such a wonderful observation of realizing how Trump was viciously attacked by those two individuals, those two children, and Biden and that moderator. So I want to commend her in it. He was dead on. It was a vicious attack, an onslaught on the president. And Donald Trump, like a G, came out swinging. Left hooks, uppercuts, jabs. It went down just like I thought it was gonna go down. I knew he wasn't gonna play no games. You know, he let Biden set the tone. Biden wanted to put his big boy pants on and be grown, so Trump had to deal with him as such, and that's why it turned into a slugfest. You know, so I commend the president for being able to handle 2-on-1 and showing that, you know, sometimes you have to be gangster. And slap some people in the mouth. Sometimes you got to take your presidential hat off. Sometimes you got to take your crown off as a sister. And sometimes people just make you have to get gutter. And that's what the Don had to do. He had to get gutter. You know, so the debate didn't bother me. A lot of people say it was so unpresidential. And it was too mean. It got into a little slugfest, a little competition. It is what it is. The type of personalities that we are dealing with here, that's their makeup, you know. And this election is so critical, so important, and the hatred amongst these individuals is so deep. Well, that's why it got dirty and gutted like it is. There's a lot riding on this whole presidential thing, you know, on this election. Some people say that Trump is the last president, you know. So some people say this could be the end of America. There's just so much going on right now, so. It didn't surprise me that it was going to be a slugfest. It didn't surprise me that it was different from other debates because we are at a different time here with 2020 with the COVID and all everything else that went on. We are at a difficult time in history. So I feel that Donald Trump did a good job. The one main thing that bothered me out of all, you know, there's a lot of things that did bother me, like the 2-on-1 action, but one thing in particular I didn't appreciate is how they keep trying to corner Donald Trump to say, to disavow these racist groups, these racist hate groups. He's done this over and over and over and over again. But the people keep on trying to ask him. It's like when you answer the question 200 times, you know, it starts to get a little old. The same thing. It's like, is that all you got? Is that all you can come with? Is this when you can't think of nothing else to attack the down with, you go to, you're racist. But you can't get racism. But what about them white racist groups that like you? They don't have nothing else on them, so they try to hit them with their racist card. And the man, and like I said, and disavow racism plenty of times before this. He even said during the debate when the moderator asked him, would you do it? He said, what group you want me to disavow? Joe Biden jumped his little happy self in and threw out the Proud Boys. And Donald Trump said, you know, stand down and stand back. He didn't go into it no further because, one, he already peed off that people keep asking the question. Second, he ain't like how Joe Biden, you know, interrupted his thought process. So he shifted gears to go back on the attack with Joe. See, I peeped it. A lot of people don't. They just want to say he skated around the question. He didn't skate around. He answered it then. He's answered it many moons before about this whole racist stuff. And I end by saying this. If the man is a racist, hey, that's his personal thing. You know, let him say he racist, cool, whatever. long as you writing some policies for my people, I ain't tripping off of that. I'd rather you be a racist and writing some policies that's going to help my people than not be a racist and writing policies that's just going to screw my people over. So the whole racist thing, to me, I'm tired of hearing about it. It's a waste of time. People keep trying to accuse the man of being racist. It's just, oh, let's look at the policies. The policies that this president is putting in place for our people. I'm talking to black people right here. Let's focus on that. If he's putting policies in place to help us, yes or no? The whole racist thing, it don't even matter. So I end with that. I was cool with the debate. I'm with it. I put a Wayne column in the Trump column.
All right, all right. W. Yes, indeed. You say Trump got that one, huh?
I give it to Trump. All right. Yes, sir.
Gave that to Trump. All right. Yeah, family, we're going to get to the call lines here in a second. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. I'm gonna just go in real quick as far as that debate. I mean, it was interesting to say the least. And like we said, this is, you know, arguably the most important presidential election in our lifetime. So it is a lot riding on this debate, or it was a lot riding on this debate and this election. Now, I don't think anybody really won this debate. I think everybody lost. It was just a loss all the way across the board. From the way the moderator handled the debate, the way Trump couldn't control himself, Biden couldn't control himself. It was, on the surface, it was just a lot going on with these guys. And nobody really, like Rigel said, just to reiterate, nobody really answered any of the questions. They was kind of ducking and dodging, going back and forth, throwing some jabs, which I don't have a problem with that per se. I kind of just wish it would have been a little more organized, But from what I've seen, and I'm going to give this, I do give Trump the win on the one-on-one because he was a little more aggressive and a little more assertive. And, as far as being a leader, I can respect that because Joe Biden looked kind of weak to me. You know what I'm saying? Just looking at the body language and how he was just coming off with everything, he just seemed kind of weak. And Trump was the bigger man, basically. Biden, Trump was specifically asking Biden questions, and I don't know if Biden was freezing up or he didn't have an answer, but it seemed like he just wouldn't respond to some of the questions he was asking, which I thought, were some good questions pertaining to the topic of what they were talking about. Like when he asked him to name a police union group that supports him, and Biden kind of froze up. You know what I'm saying? He asked him something else, and Biden kind of froze up. I'm like, is this man, like, does he hear him, or does he just not have an answer? With that, it was a lot of name calling. I think Biden told Trump to shut up and called him a clown, and it was a whole bunch of name calling. So it was a lot of mudslinging. Yeah, it was a lot of mudslinging, and it's really just lowered the. It just turned into a reality TV reunion show. That's basically what that was. was like a reality TV reunion without them throwing, wine and fighting each other. I think that's what it is. Yeah. That's what America, these presidential politics have turned into is really, got a downgrade, which I'm cool with. I'm like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with the downgrade and them just slanging mud and name calling. I'm cool with that.
I got to realize
this
was just the first one. So, you know, they just had to get their testosterone out, you know, get their fight out. I'm sure on the next two, I think it'll be a little different. I think it'll be a little bit more reserved. They just had to get it off their chest.
It should not have happened because it wasn't a debate. I mean, we call it a debate because that's what it was supposed to be, but it wasn't a debate. We didn't get any information. No one asked a question. Even the function of it was not proper as a debate. The moderator was terrible. Hopefully they can replace him by the next one, because he was either replace him or he needs to be in training right now to prepare himself for the next one, to have more control over the floor. And when he break it up, if someone do interrupt, when he break it up, he needs to allow them to finish, make them accountable to answer the question. Don't say, okay, stop, guys, and move on to another question. Say, okay, guys, stop. Let him finish answering the question. And sit back and let these people answer the question like they're supposed to do, so we can have their answers on record, we can hear it, and we can have a better understanding at this moment about the viewpoints as far as when it comes to the certain topics that they're talking about. We don't want to have to go back and look at old clips over some stuff that they said before. No, we in this moment right now, if this is a debate, then this is how they need to conduct themselves. One person say something, then the other person listen, and they respond, or they rebuttal. They answer the question. Well, first they have to answer the question as well, and then they can respond. But only one person should talk at a time, and the narrator should not be biased. He needs to answer, make sure that they answer the question.
I thought Trump would have been a little more strategic and letting Biden talk, because you know Biden is good for sticking his foot in his mouth and saying some stuff that's off the wall and not really true. So to me it would have been more, you know, advantageous for Trump just to let Biden do more of the talking, so he could have talked himself in a hole. Let him hang himself. But yeah, I guess that wasn't the strategy, because Trump kept interrupting. I'm like, you know, you interrupt and let him speak and then rebuttal. You know what I'm saying?
Them lies, and then, you know what? That's something else too. He was making me sick with the whole looking into the camera and gleaming into America's eyes to tell them, I'm gonna do this. That was getting on my nerves.
Right.
Man, that was getting on. I was so scripted. It was so scripted. Like, man, if you don't sit down somewhere,
look right in their eyes and tell them
that foolishness.
Yeah,
he just ain't genuine. He's just not a genuine person. He ain't genuine.
Right.
I can see right through Joe. See right through him.
Yeah.
He just ain't a genuine individual. Slick.
Facts. It was not a good look. I did give that, just to wrap it up real quick, I did give that debate to Trump. However, on the point where he had a chance to denounce the Proud Boys specifically, he should have done that. I mean, it was just a simple thing. Yeah, he's went on record before disavowing racism, white supremacy, and whatnot. But the Proud Boys specifically, he had opportunity to do that night, and he did not do it. Now, I think the next day or a day or two later, he went on Fox. On Fox News or Hannity, one of these shows, and he actually did denounce the Proud Boys by name, racism, anti-Semitism, all these things he denounced. But my thing is, he could have just did it then. If it wasn't so, it was kind of like pulling teeth, because I don't think Trump even believes racism and white supremacy exists. I think that's what type of time he on. So he had a hard time struggling with it. And he knows his base, right? He knows how his base is. He knows his base are pretty much all right, far right, nationalists, or white supremacists. And that's his base, and he didn't want to lose them. But that just shows me, you know, where his allegiance lies. You know, he clearly just picked a side when he could have just disavowed them and just and moved on. You know what I'm saying? In front of the largest, one of the largest debates we've seen, you know, in history. He could have just got that on out the way. But it was such a hard, just like you had to twist his arm for him to even admit it. He was trying to play, you know, try to play dumb. What do you mean? What? Which groups? What do you want me to announce? You know what I'm saying? Trying to play that game when he could have simply just did it, and it would have, and we could have just moved on. You know what I'm saying?
He said what groups? Because he's just tired of hearing the same question over and over and over and over again. It's like, dang, keep asking the same retarded question.
You can't really speak for him like that. You don't know.
I do know. That's my buddy.
He said which groups because he's tired of people.
That's
my name.
Yeah, that's like if I keep asking you the same thing over and over again, do you denounce homosexuality? I just keep asking, but you know, that's your base. That's your base. Are you going to denounce these gay women? And I just keep asking you over 3.5 years. I'm constantly people throwing it in your face. You get old, man. You're like, damn. How many times do I got to say the same thing over and over to y'all again?
The reason why I see that as being different, though, is because it's not like it's the same person over and over. He may hear that question a lot, but that's only because he is the president of the United States. So he will be, unfortunately, he'll be hit with a lot of the same questions of a lot of different times. So it's not like it's one individual that just keep asking him that question. He's answering to the same individual. Because this is it's almost like an interview. If I go to 10, and if I'm filling out 10 for a job and I put in 10 applications and all 10 ask me the same question, then I can't get mad at the 10th employer that's asking me the same question. I'm like, dang, go ask them. I just answer these questions. So you can't say it that way. And this is a platform in front of people who I have never heard him denounce it. I've seen that, I mean, I haven't heard him, only thing I've seen, like, old clips of him saying it. But I've never just, like, if he's doing this and someone asks him a question, I want to get it live because the clips could have been doctored, they could have been edited, all kind of things. So this gives me and other people like me the opportunity to hear it. He know this is a fresh start for some people. He can't treat this as if this is the same old replay. He can't do that.
Right.
This is a
president. Yeah. Yeah. And he
has this though.
He's the president, though. You know, they ask him the same question a lot. He's got to be in front of the press. They may ask him the same question. You just got to be part of the job. Yeah,
how many times have they asked Joe Biden that question?
I don't know.
So that's unfair. You're going to keep asking Trump that same crap over and over and over again. You don't ask Joe Biden that.
Right.
So yeah,
remember
what
it stands for.
I would get tired of it. I would get tired of it. You keep asking me the same things over and over and over. You don't ask my counterpart that. You don't ask him to do that.
Right. But remember where it stems from, because Trump. No, it's not unfair because Trump has pledged allegiance to these folks before. Remember in the Charlottesville thing, they got on his head for him saying that it was good people on both sides. You see what I'm saying? When the one lady got killed out there, and it was like the neo-Nazi going against the Black Lives Matters or whatnot, and he was like, it was both good people on both sides and whatnot. And, like, that was just a statement he could have – he should have been able to, you know, politic his way around. because they didn't kill somebody on one of the sides. You know what I'm saying? So that is why he's always asked about these white supremacist groups and white nationalists, because they be online showing their support for Trump. So it's only right that they, you know, that the media asks them, okay, well, do you condemn these people? Do you know these people online supporting you? They got banners. No, these people's at your rallies and wearing MAGA hats. So do you condemn
them? The sad part is what people are so confused at is them people who supporting Trump, they weak. They ain't about nothing. It's the secret ones that's supporting Biden. Those are the powerful ones. Those are the ones that can really hurt you. Them little country bumpkin folks that's talking about they support Trump, they ain't no threat. They is not no threat. It's the ones that support Joe Biden secretly is the ones that people need to be worried about. So, I mean, I don't get it.
It is what
Why
it
do?
Is.
I get it. I get it. And yeah, it is what it is.
No, I'm with you. I hear you on that. I think we definitely need to watch both groups. As far as I'm concerned, but anytime you open, that makes you're more able to be dealt with, in my opinion, if you're open. If I know where you stand and you feel this type of way on this type of ideology, you don't like black people, whatnot, or you think we inferior, hey, that's on you. Now I know how to deal with you. You know what I'm saying? I know how to deal with you.
Trump has never said anything like that, and none of his policies that he put in place reflect things like that. But on the other hand, when it comes to Joe Biden and Kamala, they have put policies in place that reflect that. And Joe Biden has said some pretty negative things in the past when it comes to black people. So why the moderator ain't asked him about denouncing hate groups and white supremacy? Why he don't get asked these same questions?
Right, because they don't support him like they support Trump, though. The hate groups of white supremacists don't support Biden like they support
Trump.
Right,
you got the more vicious and covert white supremacists that support Joe Biden. The ones that quote unquote support Trump ain't nothing but some hillbillies that ain't gonna bust a grape. You stay out their way, you ain't gonna have no problem with them.
I wouldn't go that far because they got some bodies on their hands.
When was the last time you seen some of them coming North St. Louis getting busy?
No, because they.
That's what I'm saying. They ain't nothing but the undercover ones, the slick ones that's on your police department, and ones that's writing these policies who support Joe Biden on the low, them the ones you got to be worried about. Because they going to reach right out and touch you. Them little country bunkers, they cool in the sticks doing their thing. Whether they hate black people or not, that's on them. And that's their choice. They ain't got to like black. Just like we don't have to like white people, Chinese people. Everybody got a choice on who they got to like. Now, when you start doing things to hurt other groups, that's where the issues come into play at. And that's why I say even when it comes to Donald Trump, people attack him to these groups. But let's look at the policies that he's putting in place since he's been in office. Show me the ones that have hurt black people. Show me the ones that have been a positive thing for black people. Then let's do the same thing for Joe Biden. And then let's have that discussion. And I guarantee you, Joe Biden is going to be the one that's going to come out as the true devil. But he don't get asked questions about being racist.
It is what it is.
They just, you know, let him slide. And Trump tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm gonna give Trump this too, right? Because I respect Trump for, even though, again, I don't agree with white supremacy and none of that, I respect him for trying to stick up for his base. Trying to have his base back no matter what people say or what, you know, what the media and press try to do to him. He tried to stand on his square.
It is.
In which I can't knock that because, you know, I would never denounce somebody like, you know, Minister Farrakhan or Claude Anderson, no matter what he say. You know, I'm not going to agree with everything, but I'm not going to denounce that man because I know he had a hand in my consciousness development. You know what I'm saying? So no matter what he say, I'm not going to disavow him publicly. I would never do that. So as a man, I can respect Trump for kind of sticking to his guns. Like, hey, I don't have to do what y'all tell me to do. Make me, you know, I'm just stick my lines. But I think somebody got to him and was like, look, just for political reasons, you need to go ahead and disavow these groups for political reasons. And I think that's what he did. But he tried to stand on this square, and I respect that because those are the people who rode for him and you know, helped him get to the White House, even though I vehemently disagree with any of that. I can respect Trump for, you know, letting us know where he's standing and standing strong when everybody else was coming at him. You know what I'm saying? So I will give him that.
I know we got to open up to the call lines. I just want to ask you and Roger one question. What do y'all think these white racist hate groups that support Trump, what do y'all think they have to say about the policies that he's put into place to help black people? What do you think they had to say about helping to fund HBCUs and First Step Active to get prisons out of jail, amongst just two of the things? There's others also about the Platinum Plan. What do you think these white racist groups that support him have to say about those things?
I don't think they have anything to say because he's looking out for them too.
Right.
They ain't missing nothing. What he doing ain't hurting them. And they getting kickbacks. I don't think they're worried about it. Because like Brother Kevin said, he understands who is giving him votes. So he's not a politician. So he's always, whether his businesses are great or not, he's always been into business. So he's thinking where he's trying to accommodate all customers. You know, he's trying to provide
there
a product that's going to accommodate all his customers. Because at the end of the day, he still wants the votes, even if you are black. He wants your votes, too. So he's trying to accommodate his customers. So I don't think they have much to say because he ain't leaving them out. He still trusts them.
Right.
They getting kickbacks.
I like that answer, Roger, because you absolutely right. And as a smart businessman, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do. And then I even step up, put my neck out there further and say, as the president of a country that you is never going to please everyone, you got to do that. You have to at least try to satisfy everyone. No matter what you do, you're going to make somebody mad at you. I give him credit for being a smart businessman trying to appease both sides. Unlike Joe, who, like I say things but do something totally different. Say he's going to do this, but then hit you on the back with this and stick black folks in the back. See, that's what I don't like, how him and Kamala say one thing, but then you stab me in my back. Trump said, all right, I'm going to give you a little bit on this time, I'm going to give you a little bit on this side. But Biden and Kamala, they're going to tell us something and then stick the knife in our back as we turn around clapping. Yeah, they got our back. And they stick us. So that's why I'm more, you know, against those two.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how, you know, how you want to look at it, because the way I see it, it's really just different forms of racism. You got Biden, who's, like you say, covert with it, a little sneaky, plays like he's your friend. And then you got Trump, who's a little more overt, where they just come out with it. And, I mean, they don't come out with it and say it, because the thing is, when you in this type of society and where we move, you have to be more strategic. So, you know, to the Trump supporter, to my brother Mufasa, his group or his base or even Trump himself, he's never going to come out and say, you know, that he just hates black people and this and that, because really white supremacy is not about hate or like or dislike. It's more about power and control. You know what I'm saying? So he's never going to come out and say that, because number one, it wouldn't make sense for him to do that politically. And number two, when you come out and you are very overt racist like the old days, even white people got to come down and attack you, because they know that's not, you know, that's not being on code. That wouldn't be an advantage for them to come out and be openly racist like that, because they know that'll put black people on code. So the name of the game is either to deny, you know, that white supremacy racism exists, or to just ignore it and hope it go away, to not even mention it. So, you know, nobody's ever going to come out who's on that type of political stage, going to come out and really just say, I don't like these people, I don't like this because of their color, this and that. So the name of the game is to denounce racism, denounce white supremacy, but at the same time still practice it. You see what I'm saying? At the same time, you can still practice it. You can bring up your black friends and be like, hey, this is my buddy, he speaks highly of me, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, you still practicing the same old policies from before. So, you know, that's key as far as understanding the type of dynamic we have in the Democrats and the Republicans. We got one group, the Democrats, they just covert with it. They play like they are friends, but then they come around and then do some slick stuff. And then we got the Republicans that really don't mess with us. They say, hey, you guys could just do your own thing, be left to your own devices, but they also secretly plot to undermine us as well. But we know where they stand, and we can prepare for anything that they would have coming. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at when I'm watching both of these groups. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, y'all want to hit the call lines? Y'all can respond. What's up?
Okay.
Want to hit the call lines right now?
Yeah. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I was waiting in line for the new iPhone.
Oh, yeah? You're at the wrong spot. You need to get an Android. The iPhones are in trouble.
I'm tired of talking about what all Trump done. People can't realize that. I don't know what to tell. And you know, you're absolutely right. Chris Wallace, who represents Fox News. I thought Fox News was supposed to be a friend with Trump. We heard those lies all those several years.
Right.
It didn't seem like it led on that debate, but you're right. I thought so, too.
Yeah, well, I told you they wasn't. And here's another thing. I wanted to hear, and I'm sure the Americans wanted to know, about the economy. They wanted to know about trade. They wanted to know about border protection. They wanted to know about manufacturing, which is coming back. Trump talked about the $280 billion that was invested in America in 2019. About the company, look at Granite City Steel on the other side of the river. They're hiring. They opened up two more furnaces. Look at there at Lilac Avenue and 270, that big blue building that sits over behind the Hardee's. That's Nucor. Nucor Coal Roll, Coal Mill. Nucor expanded billions of dollars in Missouri and also in other places in the United States, getting ready for the infrastructure, like the infrastructure that's going on there on Highway 270, right along the area of Halls Ferry. They're putting in, it's Old Hall Ferry. They're putting in new bridges. You go further down past West Florissant, they're putting in new bridges and and access ramps. And blacks are working.
Yeah.
So you can't say that the man haven't done or tried to do the things that he said he was going to do. And another point, I don't know nothing about no damn Beach Boys. Is that their name?
The Beach Boys. The Proud Boys. That's one of them.
I don't know nothing about no damn Proud Boys. And from what I heard him say, he asked, what do you want me to tell him? To stand down and stand back? That's exactly what he said. It was blotted out because Joe Biden and Chris Wallace was talking.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Let me ask you something else, too. Blacks' medium income in 17 and 18 increased 257%, more so than whites' medium income. Nobody's saying nothing about that.
No, where do you get that from?
From the U.S. Census, and I've shared it to Spence, Kevin Spence, and also the Collective Minds. Y'all don't look at this stuff. I know what's going on. And look at all the signs around the city. There on Kings Highway and Delmo, you got a big old sign that's got Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Steve Robbins. And it says, only vote Democrat. You got another one like that. Over on North Grand and St. Louis Avenue, Catty Corner of Mother's Fish. Only vote Democrat. So you mean to tell me black people ain't got enough sense to figure out what's best for them? And you know the worst thing I've read in a long time, and I knew about it, and I sent y'all the video interview and sent you newspaper clippings. Bill Clinton is being interviewed, and he says that Detroit, a black town, should be redeveloped by Syrian refugees. Hillary Clinton is for bringing in Syrian refugees. You know who railed against it, spoke out against it? Donald Trump. And who would it affect the most? Who would it affect the most? Black people.
Go ahead now.
Look at it. If Bill Clinton is sitting there saying that it's good that Syrian refugees come into Detroit to redevelop. Well, if that's the case, what are you going to do with the blacks? What are you going to do with the veterans that's sleeping on the streets? What are you going to do with the homeless that's sleeping on the streets? I thought black people was the mainstay for the Democratic Party, and here this man is just because he wore some dark sunglasses and played a saxophone, the first black president, he's kicking him under the bus.
And
if people think I'm lying, do your research. Do your research. Bill Clinton says redevelop Detroit with Syrian refugees.
Wow.
And look what they're doing for these refugees now. They're providing their kids with special million-dollar facilities to teach them how to speak English. But your black kids that have problems speaking English because they come from a home where another language is spoken, they call that Ebonics, they don't provide them with that type of facility, that type of access.
That's right. That's right.
And y'all know that.
Now, you just made a good point. I'm going to give props where they do, and you just made a great point how his policy, Donald Trump policy on immigration does affect the black community in a good way, because the immigrants
when he got elected, Kevin,
the black community and set up shop.
When he got elected, who was out there rioting, burning, busting out windows, and destroying the American flag? It was them Latinos and them illegals and illegal sympathizers.
Right. Right.
White folks. Right.
That's exactly who they were.
Brother, I appreciate you sending that information, brother. Keep sending us that information. Hey, I read the email, brother. I read the messages. So continue to send that information.
And see, here's the point.
Appreciate it.
Here's the point.
Yes, indeed.
And I hate to say it like this. Black folks, and I ain't saying all, there's a large segment of black population that's just plain ungrateful. They are ungrateful.
Mm.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. I just think our time is due, and we're old a lot. We haven't had a chance to, you know, to fully correct what's been happening to us. Like, we're at a critical point where, as a group, we could be a permanent underclass, and if we don't get our economics together as a group, who knows where we'll be in, you know, 20, 30 years as a group. So
I tell you what, I'll give you 45 years, Kevin. I give you 45 years. And I don't think it'll I really do believe it's gotten so to a point that it ain't going to come back. Now, you're going to have some blacks that's going to do well. I would be satisfied if your representation per your numbers in the society, and that's continued to drop, your birth rate is down like a 1.7. And you know you need 2.2 just to maintain your numbers. Then you look at the education. That is serious. If you don't have a decent, you got to have more than a decent. You got to have an exemplary education system for your children. You got to do some drastic things in order to get your children into the positions where they need, where they can make a difference economically. Trump has told these immigrants, when your visa expires, you got to go home. We're going to replace you with America. Joe Biden them ain't saying that shit. Joe Biden was over there to Ukraine bribing them with $1 billion and wanting them to fire the prosecutor who was looking into the shenanigans that Hunter Biden was doing on one of their companies.
Right. Right on, Carl. Appreciate it.
And wait a minute. Hang on. What about how did Joe Biden
–
How did Joe Biden – And he's saying it out loud that Robert Byrd was his mentor,
right?
And the person for him to lean on to, just like Hillary Clinton did. You know who Robert Byrd was, don't you? He's the leader of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, sir. We do.
So
know.
At least
so,
we
yeah.
forget. Anyway, I'm gonna get back in line so I can get my iPhone.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. Yes, indeed. But no, real quick, just before we get to the other callers, thank you, caller. If you're just calling us, family, we're talking about the debate, the presidential debate last week between Biden and Trump. Now, this is where, and a caller brought up a good point, because there's two policies that the Democrats, their position on, hurts black people. And Trump and a Republican position actually helps black people. And a caller mentioned one, which is immigration. If you look at the Democrats' policy on immigration, they want all these immigrants to come in, and they come in and they set up shop in black communities, basically set up businesses and whatnot, take the economics out of the community and leave black people with nothing. That's number one. With immigration, Trump's policy on immigration actually helps black people in black society. The number two policy is the position on this LGBTQ stuff. The Democrats are all for those LGBT rights. They try to crowbar that stuff into our schools and teaching and all this stuff. And that, to me, directly hurts the black family. Now, Trump and the Republicans' position on that, they kind of push back on that LGBT stuff, and they not really with it, which I think helps black people. So those two policies, you know, immigration and the LGBT issue, I would have to side with Trump on his position on those. Not saying that he's doing it specifically to help the black community, but it indirectly does help black folks when you keep immigrants out. And you don't promote that LGBTQ stuff. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll say one quick thing, too. And I'm gonna make it real fast. If you don't get Trump in, and if Trump is not the last president and we get another one, I'm telling you, you're going to see black people ain't getting nothing. Nothing. You think you got a bad night, you just wait. It's going to be payback.
Area code 404-908. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Oh, I got a lot of comments. Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Naj in Atlanta again. Hey,
peace, man.
What's up, man?
Ain't nothing, man. Yeah, man. Y'all talked about a lot. Then y'all had Pianchi on. If y'all can at the end, just give me a couple seconds to address some of the things he said. Salute to you, brother.
Right.
You know, it's a love hate relationship. It's beautiful. But
right.
What y'all talked about at the start, where y'all talked about the debate, I think sometimes people misunderstand like Trump as a politician. As a politician, what did Bannon keep saying in early 2016? You flood the zone. That way, nothing gets through as far as what's real, what's fake, whatever. So at this debate, he's walking in with Corona hanging over his head, the idea of if he tested positive, don't know if he was sure or not at the time. The tax situation was out there. The tape on his wife was out there. So how do you stop Biden from trying to hit on any of those momentum? Trump did what he had to do to survive the debate. Now, as the sister said earlier, Chris Wallace is the one who deserves the most blame. You're the moderator. It's your job to control the two people who are debating. Now, whether you do that by saying, if you talk over somebody's time, I'll restrict your time on your next question or whatever, but you can't just sit there and let the chaos go and then at the end just say, all right, we'll move on to the next question. So that's why we didn't get anything answered, because Trump didn't want anything answered. Now, to the brother who said, letting Biden talk is probably a better policy because then Biden will dig his own grave. True, if Trump wasn't carrying all of that stuff into the debate. So that wasn't like Trump just up there just unhinged. That was a plan.
Right.
Okay, we'll try to throw him off his game. We'll interrupt. We'll get loud. That way, they won't even be able to get into any of the controversial stuff. Now, another thing we need to think about is, do debates matter anymore anyway? How many people out there are really undecided? You see what I'm saying? Like, the debates are way too late in the game now. Like, back in the day where we was reading newspapers to get our information and you get an interview every couple of months, then, did need a debate at the end of the cycle. But now when we get information every day, we know these people's positions on most policies. It ain't like we're learning anything new. Whose mind was changed from the debate? Probably nobody.
I think
it's an old relic. It's probably going to have to be something different where they started earlier or something. But
it
this debate format we have now, man, they just
Most of us have already picked out. Most of us have already picked a side, and so we're just watching to see how our fighter doing the ring. That's it.
Yeah, which is a shame for politics because this ain't football. Which is a shame. Now, as far as Chris Wallace, if you're a Fox guy like Chris Wallace is, but you have a certain respect as a journalist across the board, you cannot do a debate where it looks like you're on Trump's side. So that's why there were so many times to where he probably could have helped them that he didn't, because at that point, what value does Chris Wallace have? He's supposed to be the Fox guy who asks tough questions. You remember the sit-down interview with Trump where he got real contentious with him? That's Chris Wallace, man.
Yeah.
He has to do that. Otherwise, what use is he? Because then everybody would just look at him as a rubber for the Republican Party. So he did his job in that sense, but he didn't do his job as far as getting everything in line. Now, moving on to something else. This is something that has to be discussed. I just told y'all about flooding the zone, where you put out so much information that people can't grasp what's coming in. They don't know what's true, what's false. A huge part of things that Trump likes to take credit for black people, are bipartisan bills that have been in the works for years, if not months. He comes in, puts his name on it, and takes credit for it. First Step Act would be the perfect example. This is a bipartisan bill written years ago that they couldn't get through, but sent to the benefit to say, hey, I'm the one who did that for black people. And then when you look at it, you're like, yeah, this is a real bipartisan raggedy bill that only addresses what? Federal institutions. Doesn't address state institutions where the majority of people are locked up. And then they parade that Sister Alice Johnson all around taking credit. It's sad, man. And then the other one, and Pianchi kind of falls into this trap too when he starts talking about the economy. In 2008, when Barack Obama became president, the economy was on the floor. Worldwide recession. We were losing 700,000 jobs a month. So at that starting point, what does that do to the data? After the stimulus package and the economy started to recover, everything looks what? Historic, because you're coming from the bottom. So when you have a worldwide recession and then things start to get back to normal, everything looks like a big bounce if you selectively collect the data and then present it as if, hey, look what happened when I became president. All of a sudden, magic things started happening. And
right.
Look, I'm used to old conservatives who used to tell me government doesn't create jobs. These new conservatives who all of a sudden giving this stuff to presidents is crazy. It would be like in the 90s giving that bump to Clinton because the internet came online. And then Clinton was walking around
exactly.
talking about, yeah, look at my economy. I did. No, you didn't do that. You just happened to
right,
be in office
right.
during that period. So some
right.
of that stuff is kind of dicey,
yeah.
bro. So he got to chill. And look, I'm a left.
Yeah.
I'm way far left. So I don't support either party. I'm a third-party voter. Or I'm just
okay.
going to not vote. That's just what it is. I don't rock with either one
there
of them.
There you go.
And,
yes, sir.
And I'm going to leave y'all with this, though. When you're watching a debate or anything else with these two guys, don't assume they're talking to us. Sometimes we get
right.
the idea that they're talking to us as black folks. Trump
right.
is talking to who? He's talking to suburban white folks and
yep.
that little firewall of a base, meaning that alt-right and some of those people.
Mm.
He's talking to them. Because he already has the
right.
place, and he wants to peel off or dissuade
mm-hmm.
a lot of black folks from voting. When Biden is up there, who
right.
is Biden talking to? Suburbanite whites who call themselves independent, who he thinks
yep.
are tired of how Trump acts and want to pull and
right.
maybe go dim for one election. That's who they're chasing. And you can
exactly.
see that throughout the policy. And that's why
you
saw
see
the
it,
DNC.
Yeah.
That's why you saw the DNC get together and push Bernie out the door. Bernie was broken.
Mm-hmm.
They get down to South Carolina. Biden wins one little thing. And before you know
yeah.
it, Barack Obama's calling all the candidates and said, drop out. We got to get behind Joe. So you see
yeah.
the kind, gang.
You see the kind, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Great points, Carla. Great points. Man.
But yeah,
yeah.
man.
So, yeah.
It's good talking
just
to
a, just a
oh,
yeah,
ahead,
comment,
bro.
Comment. No, just a comment on your point, because you're right as far as who they're speaking to. Because remember, in a debate, they had the one question that was kind of centered around black people when Wallace asked them about race relations. It was some question,
mm-hmm.
but they had the total line. And like you say, Joe Biden was talking to the suburban white folks, as was Trump. And that's why Trump kept saying, you know, he can't even say law and order. Because they want to know how tough are you on crime. You know what I'm saying? How you go deal with the
yep.
black folks. And then they went into the quote-unquote race relation problem when really it was a black problem, you know what I'm saying, pertaining to black
right,
people.
Right.
So it was interesting how they kind of played that. But you're right, bro. We have to pay attention and see exactly who they're speaking to when they're having these debates. Because they have a target audience.
Because it ain't up.
You know? Exactly. They have a target audience.
Biden is scared to embrace us too closely for fear of scaring off white
exactly.
folks. And Trump is
yeah.
trying to scare the hell out of white folks. Antifa and Black Lives Matter is going to break in your house and kill you. Like, that's what you
yeah.
see here right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes, indeed, Colin. We appreciate you. Yes, indeed. Great
all
point.
Right,
we got to get a couple more calls. Appreciate you.
Yeah,
yes,
on.
Indeed, family. If you're just joining us, we are talking about the presidential debate that happened last week. They were scheduled to have a total of 3 debates. I'm not sure if this second one may be postponed because it's the breaking news that Trump tested positive for the coronavirus. Some people saying it might be fake news, but nevertheless, he was admitted to the hospital, Walter Reed, and they say he may be discharged, you know, sometime this week, tomorrow, Tuesday. But we'll see if that second debate happens. But I think the third debate is still on. And schedule, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's where we at. We talking about the debate. I know the just for news sake, the vice presidential debate is this week between Kamala Harris and Mike Pence. That is October 7th. I think that's Wednesday of this week. So that'll be October 7th, I think, at like 8 p.m. Eastern time on that. So check that out.
I love the kid.
So, yes, sir.
You know, I just wanted to throw one thing out there because it was on my mind from when the caller said about talking about our debates. So, you know, basically a prehistoric. You know, I have to agree with that. And what I've learned from this, especially from this presidential term, is as an individual, you have to do your due diligence and your research on these candidates. we really cannot just wait until a debate to sit down and try to, you know, pick or get a better understanding, because there's so much information that you're not going to get out of that debate. You know, it's just a lot. You have to really, we really have to start being more proactive into studying these candidates and these people who are running for these offices. You know, so that's why I want to challenge everyone, you know, be proactive and really pay attention. Seek out the information on these people, because when you get to these debates and stuff, they just be throwing out stuff and untruths, and, you know, it's just surface level. You don't get a chance to dive deep. You only don't dive deep when you do your own research.
This is facts. Yeah, man, and I'm kind of like the caller, because I'm like, I'm in between, you know, I ain't going to even say I'm in between a rock and a hard place. I'm just undecided at this point, because I'm not supporting either candidate, because I don't like the policies of the Democrats and Joe Biden, and I'm not really on board with Trump, even though I see Trump kind of bucking the system a little bit. You know, he said some things and kind of done some things where I was like, okay, he's kind of going against the status quo. So I like that aspect, but I'm not fully on board, you know, with voting for Trump. So at this point, I'm holding my vote until I see something different. I was really looking for some type of black agenda. You know what I'm saying? Trump tried to come with the platinum plan, the old shiny platinum plan, because, you know, we like shiny things, but When you look at it, it wasn't too much there, in my opinion. So I'm still on the fence. I haven't seen nothing from the Democrats. So I'm just basically like, hey, I'm not going to legitimize this system by participating in the presidential vote. You know, I'll just vote locally if I even vote, because that's pretty much how fed up I am, if I even vote altogether. But that's just me. You know what I'm saying? I ain't tell nobody else what to do. That's just me. But I digress. You dig? So, yeah, y'all want to grab a call?
Okay. Area code 319-572. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Well, first of all, the only thing that they didn't say was, I know you are, but what am I?
Right.
But there's there was no point of him denouncing the Proud Boys. That's not a hate group. If you look them up, they got black, Latino. They probably even got some little Asians running around up in there. So there was no. That's why he just told. That's a. But yeah, there was no sense for him to even denounce them. They're not a racial group. They're not a hate group.
They are far right group. Yes, they are far right fascist, neo-fascist, white supremacist group. And now that they have, you say they have.
Proud Boys are not white supremacists. You need to do your research.
I have done my research on these people. I have done my research.
They're more of a militia, but they are not a hate group. They have white, black, and Mexicans up in their ranks. So how is that a hate group?
Easy, because those people, they don't have a lot of those people, but those Latinos and Asians, they think they white. They want to be accepted as white. And they only have those people, if they do have black members, he's in there so they can deny being racist. That's the only reason. But when you look at the founder, who is Gavin McGinnis, this guy is the founder, and you look at, because he has a podcast and a radio show. All you have to do is listen to how he speaks and his policies and his thoughts on things, and you can see that this man is clearly a white nationalist.
Okay.
So
now, I'm trying to save time for other callers, but so I'm making a point. And then you have Biden in there talking about justice reform. But all he's talking about is doing is reforming a plan that he put in place.
Right. I'm with you on that.
So he double talked himself on that one. And but I think Trump did what he needed to do, go in like a bulldog. And but at the same time, they don't ask. Well, they can't ask Biden if he's a racist because he picked Kamala Harris, so he got his token. Well, I have a black friend. I have a black vice president. I have a colored black. I have a colored. You know, so that kind of sets him up. He don't get. But when he's talking about reform crime, all he's trying to do is undo a bill that undo the damage he's already done. And for the 47 years he's been in there, he has done nothing for black people. But incarcerated. So
yes.
But I did want to hear more about this platinum plan. But
they were targeting.
It was like watching 2 5-year-olds and the teacher trying to gain control.
Yes, sir.
He stopped on one and not the other. So
yes, sir.
I'm gonna let y'all call him.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you calling.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
I do like the comments that he made about the Proud Boys, though, because, you know, it's like I said earlier, even Pianki brought that up as well. I mean, they ain't making no noise for me. I ain't even worried about no Proud Boys. I mean, before this, I ain't even heard no Proud Boys. They don't affect me. I ain't even tripping off no Proud Boys. But I've also, like I said, also have heard that it's a group of mixed people. It's black people, white people, Latino people, so.
No. I'm
just not concerned with the Proud Boys. Like, president denouncing the Proud Boys means so, it just means nothing to me. It's like nothing.
Right.
I don't even know why they make a big deal out of that because it's nothing. I want to hear about what his policies, what the president's policies are towards black people. Him denouncing the Proud Boys is like so low on my agenda. It's mean pointless to me.
Right. No, I hear you on that now. But the thing is, when you talk about the Proud Boys and groups like this, these are the same groups that have infiltrated law enforcement. You dig what I'm saying? These are the white supremacist groups that the FBI said has infiltrated law enforcement. When you talk about the Proud Boys, 3%ers, United Front, like all these different groups, they're malicious, but they also sign up to police departments and are able to kill people, kill black people with immunity, basically, if they got the badge. And as far as the Proud Boys being multiracial, man, they are mostly white boys. They have a few, you can probably count on two hands, the different other ethnic groups. And like I say, those Latinos and Asians that are in the group, they trying to get their white card. You know, they want to be honorary white people. You know, so that's the thing. But, no, I hear you. Let's talk about the policies and all that, but we also got to keep in mind that these groups support Trump. They are his base. And on top of that, they didn't infiltrate law enforcement so they can do their dirt. But – yeah, they cowards. They don't want no fair fight. They do sneak attacks. You know, they drive old people with cars. They do all this other stuff. But they don't want to catch a fair one with nobody. You know, they always going after weak targets because they cowards. And that's what they do. So, you know, just something to be aware of. But, no, I wouldn't be tripping off them, like, spending too much time, you know, trying to see what's going on with the Proud Boys because they are – you know, a weak group, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. So, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, family, we coming down to the last 15 minutes. You know, we was chopping it up about the debate. It was interesting. Now, one thing I did find interesting in the debate, and I don't know if y'all caught this, but Trump was like, when they was talking about Supreme Court nominations, Trump said that Biden and Obama left over 150 something federal judges for Trump to appoint. Over 150 countrywide federal judges that Trump had to appoint. And I'm thinking to myself, how did they leave so many judges open? Because that's the thing that people are saying when you talk about not voting for, I mean, when you talk about voting, the Democrats, or what I'm hearing from the people on the left is, well, Trump, he's going to get all these nominations and he's going to be able to put people in office who think like him and blah, 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 this and that. But I'm like, Obama had an opportunity to appoint over 150 and didn't get it done. You see what I'm saying? So I'm like, what? Like, I don't get that. And I thought that was, I just thought that was pretty interesting, because I'm thinking, like, why wouldn't they appoint it? And they saying that, well, Biden didn't have control of the House and the Senate. But in his first 4 years, Obama did have control of the Yeah, that's what I meant, Obama. In his first 4 years, Obama had the House and the Senate. So why couldn't he get nothing done? You feel me? Why couldn't he get nothing done, put some policies through for black folks, or put some real policies through, or appoint these judges? Because how did he get the one lady, Sotomayor, on the bench? He was able to push her through. But you go leave all these spots, federal judge spots open, so you can have the most conservative president come in and appoint just as many as he wants. So, you know, I just thought that was interesting, you know.
Maybe Brother Kev, maybe they was left open because they just knew for a fact that Hillary was going to win. And then they get appointed at that time.
Yeah, possibly. There you go. That is definitely
Trump winning,
a possibility.
I mean, because Trump winning did just come out of nowhere. Nobody really expected Trump to win. Let's be for real.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody expected that. That was like out of left field. Like, what? This dude actually won?
Yeah.
And they've been mad.
Yeah.
And they've been mad ever since.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. They have been mad. They have been mad, my brother.
Yes, boy.
It's been
hot
ever since. Yeah.
You talk about white. Why you talk about white on white crime?
Oh yeah. They've been hating. So yeah, I mean, shit. When it comes to this debate, I don't think we need two more debates. We just need one more. And then people are good, because like the caller said, this didn't really change nobody's mind. You know, whoever you was rocking with, you probably still rocking with that candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. It didn't really move the needle one way or the other, for real. You know, Joe was Joe. Joe was Sleepy Joe. You know, and Trump was up there bullying. He was bullying Joe.
Yeah.
You know.
It was like watching the WWE, you know, Monday Night Raw. It was entertainment.
Yeah.
Entertainment purposes only. And don't forget when he said somebody's son.
Ooh. Oh, I thought Joe was about to start crying. I thought he was about to start crying when he mentioned that man's son. His eyes got a little watery, I promise. I say Joe about to start crying.
Yeah,
he's talking about
he
his
like
son.
That.
Oh, man.
Oh,
man.
He's going below the belt.
Man, that was, yeah, that was good. That was good. So, look, we less than what? I think we less than 30 days away from the election, or maybe right at 30 days. The election is November 3rd, so we just got October, and then it's going to be right there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, 2020 has been a dynamic year with a lot of things going on, and it's going to bring us on to the end of the year with this election, because I think we're going to be counting votes until December, you know.
For the end of the world.
So let me.
What'd you say?
Let me galvanize the troops. I need black people to come on out and vote. Look at the evidence. Look at how Joe is a piece of work. Joe is not the savior that you're looking for. He is. Him and Kamala is not. You need to look at this and realize you need to go ahead and come on out. It ain't going to kill you. Come on out and cast your vote and go and vote for Trump. Just make it happen. I mean, like you said, what do you got to lose? I mean, what do y'all lose? You ain't doing nothing on that day. Go ahead and, you know, because it's not going to kill you to go ahead and get out and go to the polls. It's not going to kill you. Just go ahead and, we're talking about a few hours or two of your time. Don't cast your vote because this is critical. Because I'm telling you, once you get, if you go out there and you support Joe, and Joe and Kamala get in, I guarantee
it's
going to
be all bad.
Mandatory vaccines coming down on your
head. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Especially for black people.
Yeah.
They already set the stage that we got all these ailments and make us more susceptible to it. So who going to be getting the vaccines first? Who they going to be trying to push it on first?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, not a
buddy.
Got sick. Man, Joe is a piece of work, y'all. And they've shown you, the Democrats have shown you what they're about over all this time. All you got to do is look at what have they done for black people. So don't
even
got to pick Republican, Democrat. You ain't got just look at the candidates, be an issuecrat. Vote on the issues, you know. I'm telling you, Sleepy Joe and Kamala and shows you in their history. If you do your research and look at their history, you see what time it is with them with black people. They have a poor record with handling black people, especially black men. Poor record. You don't want that. You don't want that. At least let's get Trump back in there and get entertained. At least we know we can get entertained for a whole another 4 years. At least we know he ain't going to write no policies to abolish it. You know, let's be entertained. And we might get some scraps here, get some hand-ups. But you ain't get nothing with Joe. Mark my words.
Yes, sir. So, yeah, we wind it down. We coming down. We in the last 10 minutes of the show. You dig? But, I'm with you, bro, as far as what you said about the Democrats. Hold on one second, John.
Yeah, Democrats ain't did nothing for us, you know. In them Democratic-run states, black people thriving? Are the inner cities thriving in these Democratic-led states?
No.
So what am I missing?
No.
Why are we going to play with them some more?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. That's my thing. And, I think on the low, the Democrats actually, they want to lose this election. That's why they put Joe Biden up there. Because they know he's not a viable candidate, and they thought that Kamala might save him, but he's not the one. And like the caller said, Well, they had Bernie at first, and Bernie won the Iowa caucus. You talking about this cat, Joe Biden, came last in the Iowa caucus during the Democratic primary. There's no way he should have won the nomination, but like the caller said, he won in South Carolina, and then that just pushed him to win the nomination. But Bernie was winning, you know, most of the Democratic, little primaries and caucuses and things like that. But they just gave it to Biden for some reason, and I think they did that on purpose because they want to lose because they know they ain't got nothing coming with Joe.
Do y'all think Bernie could have handled the pressure? Y'all really think Bernie could have got the onslaught for having to go up against Trump, but even after, say he was to get past Trump, which I don't think he would have, and became the president, could Bernie Sanders handle being the president of the country?
That's a tough one. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he could have beat Trump. But I think he would have had a better chance than Biden because he's so opposite of Trump just in their, like, demeanor and all that type of stuff. I think it would have made for a better race, you know what I'm saying, a better competition. But, you know, Biden is pretty much a wash, man. He's a dub, as the kids say. He's done.
Yeah. I really don't see, out of all of them, I don't see nobody who has the mental, the testicular fortitude as Donald Trump.
Right, right. Yeah, true.
And that's
true.
Just me being real. Because I'm telling you, we're going to miss, if he ain't going to be the last, y'all know y'all going to miss the Don for real. If he ain't in there, I mean, come on. We ain't had nothing like this in a minute. It's back to the same boring policy.
Right.
They just give you a runaround, tell you some stuff, and nothing comes out of it. You know?
Yeah.
You ain't going to have no president that you never know what he's going to tweet out and say. At least you got to give Don the credit for at least making it interesting and entertaining. You know?
Yeah,
like,
make me
at least want to look into some politics. Make people at least want to look in and see what's going on in politics. Before that, a lot of people weren't even interested in politics. Some are. I'm not saying everyone. But Donald Trump made politics interesting for a lot of people.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, like I said, I give him his props when I see him. Like I said, there's been a few things with the COVID and with, you know, the way he kind of exposes a little folks. It looked like he kind of pushing back on the status quo. So I could definitely respect that.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey.
Are we there?
And I give you one. I got to say one last thing in my wrap up. For Donald Trump, hey. I know a lot of people is plotting on your downfall and your death. You know, I wish the president a speedy recovery. I appreciate the video that he sent out from the hospital, letting the Americans know that, hey, you know, most people, the man said, look, most people wanted me to hide in the Oval Office, but that ain't me.
Right.
I'm the leader of the greatest nation on the planet. So I got to show my strength. You know what I'm saying? I have to show myself. I can't hide in the Oval Office. I ain't no punk,
I'm
going to go out here, do what I got to do, and meet Corona head on, and that's what he did. So go ahead.
That's Donald. Right.
I'm with you, brother.
He's like, go ahead, Don. Yes, indeed. Well, all right, fam. We about to wrap it up. We appreciate all the callers and listeners, all the supporters. We appreciate it. Like I say, the 2020 has been a mug, and we've been here, you know, cataloging and having constructive conversation every week with the fam. And, yeah, we appreciate everybody. I'm going to let Queen Rigel wrap us up, and we out of here. Peace.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in with us. And we ask you to continue to support us. We'll be live on air next Sunday, 6 p.m., 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Peace.
And the kings, we gon' get into something big, deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper, who be been a peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks talking. Yeah, they gon' feel this.